are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, September the 10th. And rest in peace today to Fred McLeod, longtime Pistons broadcaster. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. A shout out again to our title sponsor, Indochino, today. Men's Custom Suits, excited to get my beak wet with them. A sponsor we can all get behind, as looking for those suits as we're always looking to up the formal game wear. But today, discussing and passing along the sad news about Fred McLeod, who passed away Monday evening at the age of 67. We'll talk about him today. We're also going to continue our 2-5 under 25 series, where we catch up with some of the young bucks of the Pistons media world. Tony Dombrowski today, an OU student with the Twitter videos and all that good stuff in his burgeoning career in the media. We'll talk tomorrow about the Sports Illustrated's top 100 list. Also tonight, wanted to remind you guys and pass along that the 30 for 30 Rodman, for better or worse, that airs tonight on ESPN's Family of Networks. Check that out. Dennis Rodman, I'm interested to see what this is like. The Dennis Rodman story is one that honestly makes me kind of sad. He seems like a troubled guy, and I have some empathy for him, so I'm interested to see how he's portrayed. We know that the Pistons had kind of the best version of Dennis Rodman, personally, as far as the narrative goes anyway. I've never met Dennis. I've never really spent a lot of time with him at all. So I'm interested to see how, if he's involved in this production, how it kind of portrays him, because we know about his substance issues as well over the years. But check that one out. Interested to see your thoughts on this. And also, while we're talking about Pistons greats, happy 45th birthday today to Ben Wallace. I know he probably listens to the show every day. So what's up, Big Ben? Congratulations on the birthday. Well, I guess not congratulations, but happy birthday to Big Ben. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But like I said, Fred McLeod passed away. I found out about 10 o'clock this morning as the news kind of trickled through Twitter. The Cavaliers announced it on their social media Twitter page there, and had an article kind of posted about that. Fred McLeod, the longtime Pistons broadcaster from 1984 until 2006. He was on the Past Days back in the day. I know there was kind of a broadcast share at times with George Blaha. Sometimes would be on radio, Fred on TV, and vice versa. I think there was a share that the TV games that were on, you know, over-the-air TV, those were ones that Blaha did, and McLeod did the past ones. I don't know exactly what the mechanism of the arrangement was back in the day, but Fred used to be on WDIV when I was growing up. I don't know if he was with Bernie or if that was when Bernie was in New York, Bernie Smilovitz. But Fred Heumann was also one of the WDIV crew as well. So Channel 4 was I was a Channel 4 baby in my house. We were always a Channel 4 family. My folks still are a Channel 4 family there as well. So Fred McLeod, after 2006, went back to his home of Cleveland. He went. He's from Strongsville, Ohio, according to the Cavs release, and was a Cleveland guy. I mean, he was a fan of the Browns and the Cavs and all that stuff. So for him to go broadcast to 15 years or so of his childhood team and his childhood town and see Cleveland get the NBA championship in 2016 after all those years of sports consternation for the Cleveland crowd, feel good for Fred and feel good really for all the fans in Ohio for the Cleveland championship there. And personally, I followed Fred's career. I watched him whenever the Pistons played at the Cavs, and I had league pass out in Chicago. I would watch the Cavs broadcast. And I how I feel about George and Special K. Nothing against those guys, but for a chance to hear Fred McLeod again and again, you know, sometimes you want to hear the opposing broadcaster's view on the Pistons, especially someone like Fred McLeod, who has so much, you know, institutional knowledge about the franchise and probably knows a lot of people still within the organization and might have some, you know, thoughts and opinions that are actually, you know, a little bit very true and curious how he thought about that. It was weird. I remember watching a few of those games that Fred did for the Cavs early on in his time with Cleveland, and it was interesting to hear him now, because he was rooting for the Pistons. I mean, these guys are employees of the Pistons when you're doing TV for them, basically. So Fred McLeod was a homer with the Pistons, and then he was even a bigger homer for the Cavs. I can remember the passion of him during his broadcasts. He would always, you know, complain about the refs when they were slighting, he felt, his team, and you know, or maybe complaining about the opposing team a little bit when they were showboating or something like that. So Fred was a fan, and he enjoyed his work, and it shined through, no doubt. He also did the Lions preseason games on TV. Matt Shepard used to do that for those quick little preseason games runs. And now, obviously, with Shepard doing the Tigers games, it was open, and Fred McLeod, a nice little reunion for him. I talked to him three or four times at training camp, one of them as an interview on the record when it was announced that he was coming back. He was at training camp that day. He talked about how happy he was to be able to connect with a lot of the people in Michigan. And you see on social media right now, Detroit media types, not just me, but a lot of people are talking about, hey, I was really happy to spend some time during this summer and reconnect with Fred McLeod a little bit. For me, it was connect with Fred McLeod. I wrote a little blurb about him getting the job for the Detroit News, and we also shared that this summer on the Locked On Pistons podcast, a short little interview. But that was when I literally met Fred McLeod, and that was the first time I'd ever talked to him. And a few times after that, we chatted briefly. You know, everyone's kind of standing around at training camp watching. There's a lot of time to kind of walk around and socialize with the other media folks there, and Fred was able to talk with him. He, you know, obviously someone who's much further along in his career, a famous person opposed to me, who's not a famous person, and he was, you know, able to spend some time and chat with me about whatever we were talking about, whether it's Lions or Cavaliers or Pistons or the weather or how you know, the food trucks are behind the media area and stuff like that. 67 years old, wouldn't have guessed that. I mean, it makes sense when you look at the trajectory of his career, but he looked great. A guy who appeared to be in you know, fine physical condition, is reportedly a heart attack. So another reminder for all of us to take care of ourselves and to get checked out and all that good stuff, as you know, hopefully we can enjoy as long a lives as we are meant to have here on this world. I just mentioned about Fred and how nice he was, how sweet he was to folks like me, and like I said, a unanimous kind of recollection of that kind of way that Fred McLeod was from people all over the place today. You see all the members of the Cleveland Cavaliers are basically tweeting about how sad they are about his passing. That was, check out the Cavaliers Twitter account. They're retweeting all of those. But like I said, just the dichotomy of the people who belong at media events and the people who really do not, you know, as kind of an up-and-comer in a small way myself, I feel out of place sometimes when I cover big-time events here in Detroit, and obviously a guy like Fred McLeod as in place as anyone could possibly be, and by and large, everyone is cool about it. It's not like the media is full of jerks that are making you feel like you don't belong, but, you know, in a lot of it, of course, is up in your own head to some degree, but Fred was just one of those guys who was extremely accommodating, extremely nice, and, you know, you always hear about the people that can help you out. You know, everyone's nice to the people who can help you out, but the people who can't do anything for you, those are the ones that, if they're still sweet to you, still nice to you, then that obviously shows a lot about their character. So, you know, rest in peace to Fred McLeod, and job well done, man. It was fun to watch you follow our team for all those years. I know, like you guys, I have a lot of memories of watching Pistons games and Fred McLeod on the call. Professional, very good at his job, and he will be missed. The Pistons organization sent out a statement about it, expressing tremendous sorrow upon receiving the news regarding the unexpected passing of Fred McLeod. Serving as a Pistons broadcaster from 1984 to 2006, Fred touched the lives of many colleagues, players, and fans through his kindness, his enthusiasm for the team, his storytelling, and his passion for the game of basketball. We send our deepest condolences to his wife, Beth, and his entire family during this most difficult time, end quote. And we'll echo those sentiments here from the Locked On Pistons podcast. I never met Beth nor his children, but, you know, our thoughts and prayers, famously, that's what everyone says, and I know that sounds trite, but really mean it in this situation. Wanted to pass along LeBron's tweet today. by the way, man, what question mark exclamation point. And I know that sounds trite, but it, you know, it seems sincere coming from LeBron in an online speak. But OMG, this is extremely sad. Cavs Fred McLeod, may you rest in paradise, my friend. Beth McLeod, my prayers sent up above to you and your family. Beth, I believe, is a weather person in the Cleveland area. But anyway, sad day for Pistons Nation and the NBA in general with the unexpected death of our friend Fred McLeod. But up next, we're going to talk to Tony Dombrowski as our 2-5 under 25 series continues. And be sure to check out Crossover Wednesday in the NFL. Matt Derry of Locked On Lions. He'll be talking to the Chargers Locked On host today. The entire NFL regular season, you'll get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. Find your favorite team wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure not to miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment. Tony Dombrowski, the 2-5 and under 25 series, up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Tony Dombrowski as part of our 2-5 under 25 feature here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Tony, you can find on Twitter at Tony Dombrowski, which is Tony, Dombrowski. And you know Tony from his Twitter videos if you're a Pistons fan online. But Tony, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So how'd you get started with the videos? Take us through the story about how you got going with those.
So basically what I've been a passionate, you know, Detroit sports fan since I was a kid. You know, I watched the Tigers since 2006 in their World Series run. And I've always been really passionate about, you know, sports broadcasting and stuff like that. So as I entered my freshman year at Oakland University in Auburn Hills, Michigan, I wanted to do something to get me ahead, if you will. And I kind of thought of the Twitter video idea. Initially, I thought of YouTube, but like YouTube is like, it's all right. Like, I feel like Twitter has more recognition, and obviously it really does. So that's kind of how I got into the Twitter videos, and it's really taken off over the past couple of years. You know, I'm getting close to 3,000 followers, and I appreciate every view, every like, every retweet, every comment. It's awesome. I have a great community on my Twitter, and it's great for me to do not only Pistons videos, but, you know, all Detroit sports videos.
Yeah, and like you said, you're still at Oakland University. What other things are you doing to kind of supplement that as you know, obviously you're taking classes, but are you working for, you know, the radio station or whatever they got there on campus at OU?
Yeah, so actually I'm a member of the executive staff at 88.3 FM WXOU. I'm the executive board operator there, so that's pretty cool. I have my own radio show on there, Trash Talk with Tony Dombrowski, every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m., I always stream the show on my Twitter because I know some people can't make it onto the actual live show every Wednesday from 1 to 2. So I stream that on my Twitter for anyone to view anytime they want. And it's a great opportunity. It really is. You know, the guys at the station actually knew about me before I even started the station because of my videos. So when I first sent my application there, it was really cool because they're like, oh yeah, you're that Twitter video guy, we know your stuff. So it's really cool. I met a lot of great people through the station there, and it's a great opportunity. I would recommend to anybody that wants to go into the similar field to just try to get involved, whether it's with your school radio station, you have a newspaper there, just any way you can get involved, I would recommend it.
Now's the part of the interview where I feel really old about myself. If you're still a college guy, what's the first memories that you have of the Pistons? Do you remember the championship in 04, or is that a little bit before your time?
I remember little bits and pieces of it. You know, I was 5 years old at the time, I believe. So I remember bits and pieces of it. But my first real memories with the Pistons, because I've been kind of on and off with the NBA, if you will, you know, after I started to get a little bit older, I don't know why, but I just kind of stopped watching the NBA. It just, I don't know, it wasn't my cup of tea when I was growing up, but I got back into it probably like around 2014, 2015, and I just picked up right where I left off when I was a kid, and now it's obviously one of my favorite sports to cover on my Twitter. You know, I just love the NBA because it's a big soap opera, you know? So, yeah. It's great. So, yeah, my first Piston memories, though, was when I was 5 years old. I do remember bits and pieces of that 04 championship team.
Well, it's interesting to me because I think that your timeline that you're talking about there is probably not that unique. And people your mm-hmm. age, that's probably pretty similar, especially growing up around here when the Pistons were kind of a wasteland, you know, from 2008 mm-hmm. until, like you said, 2014. And now, you know, certainly kind of a mediocre team that we're you know, we'll see what happens coming up this season. But so mm-hmm. what was it kind of it like? I mean, obviously, you know, you're a Tigers fan because maybe you're a baseball guy, but also because of the success the team was having. And, you mm-hmm. know, me, you know, being, you know, a decade plus older than you, you know, I remember the 04 teams. I remember the Bad Boys team. So even when the Pistons were, you know, not a good team, you still kind of maybe watched the NBA a little bit more. Do you think that mm-hmm. people your age are coming back a little bit here in the Detroit area? Or do you think that people, like when you're out with your friends and people in classes and stuff, are they talking about the Pistons? Are they talking about the NBA much at all?
They talk about the NBA a lot, and that's actually one of the things that I'm kind of glad that we kind of talked about baseball a little bit, because that's one of the things that I think baseball needs to do a little bit better of, trying to reach out to the younger community, because I don't see many people talking about baseball, while with the NBA, I see a bunch of people talking about the NBA. Just as an example, I had my first day of classes at OU this past Thursday. And, you know, I saw people there with Piston shirts, and I saw one D-Wade shirt there. I saw a couple LeBron shirts. You know, the NBA, I think, is doing a really good job trying to promote to the younger audiences. And that's why I think it's been really successful, especially over the past couple of years. You know, I think NBA Twitter has definitely blown up over the past couple of years, which I think is a good thing. Because again, a majority of the younger audience does go towards NBA Twitter a lot during the season and even in the off season too. So, yeah, I definitely think the NBA is, becoming more attractive to the younger audiences. As for the Pistons, after the Blake Griffin trade, I did see more people come towards that organization, because before the Blake Griffin trade, like, no, I didn't see many people talking about the Pistons, unfortunately, but with Blake there, with that kind of win now intensity, now with him there, I do see more people paying attention to the Pistons, which I think is absolutely a great thing, especially with the new arena downtown.
Now, Tony, I want to ask you about your kind of approach. I talked to Nick Henkel about this the other day, but, you know, I was raised, you know, in journalism classes, and I'm sure you get a lot of the same type of stuff where they always say, you know, to remove the bias completely when you're writing the article.
Yeah.
But then obviously, you know, we got this new media thing in a good way, mostly where it's kind of a fan mm-hmm. approach too, where you're mm-hmm. obviously kind of your allegiances and rooting interest for the team is shown. How do you kind mm-hmm. of balance that with some of the things that you do?
Well, yeah, you talked about it. You know, a couple of journalism classes I had already, they kind of preach on that a little bit. You know, there's no bias in sports reporting. There's no cheering in the press box is one of the things I remember from my sports reporting class last year. But, and then again, you touched on it, you know, today you got multiple people and reporters that not necessarily cheer for the team, but they're a little bit more passionate about the team that they cover, which sports is passionate. You know, fan is short for fanatic. They're passionate fans. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for reporters to be passionate in their product, because if you're covering a team that you hate, you know, it's not, you might not necessarily put out your best work, you know. If you're passionate about the team, like me and Nick are for the Pistons, I think you could get a more better product out there, if that makes a little bit of sense.
What about you, mm-hmm. Tony, going forward? Obviously, you know, done with school in another year or so. What's the hopes mm-hmm. and plans? You want to be on, you know, the ticket with your show, or do you want to, you know, stay independent with some things you do, or get some writing in there? What's kind of, or is it just kind of take it as it comes day by day at this point?
So that's the thing with this business, because you never really know where you're going to be in 5 years. You know, it's just such a crazy business. You never know where you're going to be. Like, 5 years ago, I never would have thought that I would have been making Twitter videos and having close to 3,000 followers doing right. So, you know, it's a crazy business. So unfortunately, I can't answer that question. I don't know where I will be in 5 years, but I definitely want to continue on the pace I'm going here. Whether I be on the radio or on television, I just want to do what I love. And this is what I love. I love talking about my sports teams here in Detroit. Especially, you know, the Pistons, obviously. Some of my more successful videos last year were in the Pistons / NBA. So I can't wait for this upcoming NBA season. And hopefully I can continue this Twitter thing as long as I can. I actually just started an internship with WJBK, Fox 2 Detroit, here for the fall semester. Cool. So that's something I'm really looking forward to this year. And again, I'm just going to try to continue to do what I love, and this is absolutely what I love to do.
Well, stay away from Dan Miller and Jennifer Hammond. They're great. They're great people to talk to and work with. But Tony, what's the advice for the next Tony Dabrowski out there that maybe doesn't remember watching Tayshaun Prince play or something like that? What's the next wave? What do you tell folks that want to get into your shoes someday?
So the next Tony Dabrowski out there, if you are listening, I would recommend just doing what you're passionate about, you know, because like I said kind of earlier in this interview, sports is passionate, and you got to do what you love, and you just got to follow your dreams, man. You know, one of the pieces of advice that I was given from Smooth Johnny Kane a couple years ago when I first reached out to him for a little bit of advice, he told me it's a competitive field, but as long as you put your best foot forward and you do hard work each and every day, you'll be just fine. And that's the piece of advice that stuck to me to this day. And I continue to live by that each and every time I either make a video or even in the classroom, you know, kind of doing an assignment or something. Just put your best foot forward and just work hard at what you do. Because especially with Twitter videos, like I have gotten people that told me, hey, I want to do the Twitter videos. What advice would you give me? It takes time to get natural at it. I'm still not natural. You know, sometimes it takes me a couple of takes to get perfect videos out there that I like, but, it takes time, but once you start to get the hang of it, it's so much fun. So that would be kind of my advice for the next wave of sports broadcasters out there.
And if I can piggyback on what you just said, you mentioned reaching out to Johnny Kane, I would recommend mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Just cold call.
Absolutely.
People that you know out there, mm-hmm. go ahead and do that. People are always willing, and or most people, you know, are willing to help out and lend a ear and see what they can do for you out there. When I was in college looking for internships and looking for jobs and stuff like that, when I was a senior, I had this rule where I think I wrote one email a day to someone that, you know, maybe mm-hmm. a job, maybe could lend a hand and stuff like that. Just so it's just like all you got to do is find that, whether it's a follow-up from a job you applied for mm-hmm. or something like that, just always do that. So I think you're on the right track, Tony. Obviously, congratulations on the success. Look forward to following the videos and following your work. And like you said, the show 88.3 WXOU through Oakland University, that's Wednesday, 1 to 2 o'clock, like you said. And check that out on Twitter, too. And the videos, all that good stuff, all the coverage. Tony is at Twitter at Tony Dombrowski, Dombrowski. Tony, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Matt, thank you so much for having me on. It was a ton of fun. And we'll see you this upcoming season in a few short weeks.
Thanks again to Tony Dabrowski for taking the time to join us. And again, we are remembering Fred McLeod. I just looked it up. It's the June 5th episode of Locked On Pistons, where we talked about the Pistons possibly drafting Nasir Little. For a few minutes at the end, I shared a quick audio of myself talking to Fred McLeod, very gracious, and talking about how the Cleveland championship is something that he will remember for the rest of his sports life, is what he said, and obviously poignant words to hear today as we mourn the loss of our friend Fred McLeod, the former Pistons broadcaster who spent the last decade plus with the Cleveland Cavaliers back in his hometown of Cleveland. So on that somber note, we're going to sign off for today. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.